Well, if you have been with us for the past few weeks, we've been talking about wisdom, and I'm going to finish it off with the series today on walking in wisdom. And I'm really excited because this message is going to be focused on a character in the Bible that didn't have it, that sort of got, if I can put it this way, the short end of the stick. And we'll get to him in a moment, but before I do, I just want to kind of go over a few things that we've talked about over the past few minutes. Last Sunday, Paul was sharing on wisdom actually being the humility and how for us to have wisdom, we should be humble. And that was really good, really powerful. A few Sundays ago, I spoke on why we need wisdom. And the first Sunday, we spoke on what wisdom is and how wisdom is one of the most valuable things that we can possess in life because it can help us, it can guide us, it can direct us in this life. Without it, the Bible says we are fools, simply fools, and wisdom can really guide us and direct us, and it can really help us leave a legacy like nothing else in this life can. A lot of things that we have in this life, we possess, will fade away, but wisdom is what stays. And it can really help us catapult us in life further than we think. It can open up the doors that can lead us into God's purposes and desires for our life. And wisdom is so important. It is the most important thing that we as Christians can have and walk in. Today, as I close off, I'm going to focus a little bit more on a story that we've heard multiple times. But it was really a tragic story. Now, we have a lot of tragedies, a lot of natural disasters happen in our life, in our day and age. I just watched, when I open up social media, sometimes things pop up, and there was like buildings falling, and there was an earthquake that happened just recently in Thailand. And I was looking at all of these things happen. I was thinking to myself, the question that everybody else asks often, what did these people do to deserve this to happen to them? And that's the question that we often ask in our life when we have things happen. We question, just like any humans, well, what did I do to deserve this? Now, my dad has a really good friend. I remember it was a Tuesday morning, 2014. I remember there was a flood coming. There was a rain coming, and as a result of it, it was supposed to be flooding back home where we live. And it was in the north of Serbia. And this gentleman that was actually one of really close friends of my dad, he was a pastor. He was also in Canada once. Dusan, he was there during that summertime. And I remember the phone call. I was sitting there listening to the phone call. And he called my dad and asked my dad. And he was really giving all of the concerns to him, saying, listen, like, I've invested to build this house from the very beginning. I worked my whole life to build this house for my mom, and this rain is coming, and I don't know what I'm going to do if the river floods. Like, we're going to be left with nothing. And my dad, sitting there talking on the phone, I was there listening. I was thinking, like, what kind of wise answer can my dad give this guy right now who was really concerned about what was going to happen? And my dad was just sitting there thinking for a moment, and he just replied to this gentleman. He said, well, Dushane, this was his name, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And there was a silence, and I still remember vividly, I didn't know whether I should laugh, whether I should just, I mean, it was the right answer, but I was like, I was just taken, and he was taken back, and then he started, and then there was a pause, and then he replied back to me and said, how can you say such thing? And then he said, well, you're right. Really, at the end of the day, if God wants to take it away in this moment, if this is the time, let him take it all away. And that kind of stayed with me, but obviously, this is scripture that my dad used, and oftentimes, scripture can comfort us in our times of trouble. And someone who said that was actually Job, who we're going to talk about today. And Job was, believe it or not, considered wisdom literature. Bible has four wisdom books, and one of them obviously is Proverbs. You listen to the Proverbs, read Proverbs. There's a lot of great things there that you can follow, and if you want to be wise, you just live according to the Proverbs. There's Songs of Solomon, which we haven't actually talked about during this wisdom series. We talked a little bit from Ecclesiastes. And then, if you would believe it or not, Job was also considered wisdom literature. There's many reasons for that. One of it is the way it was written. The other part of it is we can see the wisdom of God all over it. And as we kind of dive, before we dive deeper into that, I just want to encourage you. Today I want to encourage you. Because that's why we meet. That's why we get together. Because the title of my message is simply this: Wisdom in Hard Places. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned in part of my message that we need wisdom in this life because we will be in a hard place. We will face difficulties. We will suffer. We will go through pain. And we will experience suffering. It's a part of life. It's easy to have wisdom when life is great and things are going according to plan, isn't it? But how about having wisdom in a very hard place? How about when we really hit the rock bottom and when things really happen that we did not expect to happen? And not only one thing, but one thing after another. And you got one thing happen and another thing happen. And then, as the people say, when it rains, it pours. And you got all these things happening. And this is exactly what happened to Job, where the storm of life just came like nothing before and took everything that he's ever had. Now, the Bible talks about him as someone who was righteous, who was upright. And matter of fact, when it opens up, the first, very first verse in the book of Job says this: there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. What a great biography in the first opening line. And then, I don't know if you've ever read the book of Job. I'm not going to be able to go through everything because there's so much. I could probably take a year and just preach on every single chapter. There's so much greatness and wisdom in there and so many great things to. But I'm going to focus on a few things. And I want to lean into the story of Job, because Job was the one who basically, like I mentioned, he had everything that could possibly go wrong in his life went wrong. And the question that many people ask when bad things happen in their life is, what did I do to deserve all this? Or, because Job was right and upright and righteous, what did Job do to deserve all the things that will come after this verse 1? And if you know the story a little bit, I just want to just share a quick glimpse of his life. He was there, the first three chapters, if you read it, you kind of see what happens. And he was upright, he was rich, he was wealthy, he had it all together. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, he had all kinds of stock. He was very, basically, everything that from the outside, you look at this guy's life, he has it all together. And then Satan came, and there was a conversation that happened in heaven about how God presents, Satan comes to have a conversation with God, and God presents Job to Satan and says in verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan really means the opposer, the accuser, he says to him, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Wow, when I read this, I was really stuck and struck at the same time. I was thinking to myself, if God was ever to say something about me right now, I would love for him to say this to the devil. When the devil comes to him and says, hey, how about that guy David, what about him? And then God says, have you considered him? Like, this is the most upright, the most righteous man. I was convicted in my heart. Man, I ain't close to Job. I'm not even. Like, you know, they say back home, get my head down, take my head off. I can't. But then they're having a conversation, and then Satan says this, and this, if you know the story, if you don't know the story, just read it after this service. I would encourage you to dive deep into this book because it's so incredible. But then Satan goes to him. He says, look at Job. He's got it all together. He's got all the wealth. He's got all the health. He's got everything together. And then God is like taking a pride in this guy. He says, this guy is so righteous and so upright. Have you considered him? And then God says, Satan says, yeah, right. How about you just watch what happens? How about you just strike him and take away all of the things that he possesses, everything that he has, all the wealth and all the sheep and all the camels and all the monies and even his family. And that's what exactly happened. And then see if he is still going to be righteous and serve you. That is the only reason he serves you, because you have blessed him so much that he doesn't need anything else. But you take it away, Satan says, and see what happens next. Well, I'm sure God maybe had a little bit of a regret of bringing that up to Satan. He said, okay, I give you permission to strike him and do whatever you want, just don't touch his health. And then we know the story. One servant, and it all happens in one day. One servant comes, says, there was a wind, and it just blew away, and all your servants died. And all the raiders came and took all your sheep and all the possessions and all the camels. Everything is gone. And then there was another disaster that happened, and all your family was gathered in a house having a dinner together. And guess what? The house fell on them, and they all died. All at the same time. And then the great, great, great saying, and the famous saying that Job replied to this, and this is his reply when he heard about all of this happening. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Man, I could just preach on this one verse for like next month. But I'm just going to stop here, because this is the same verse that you find in Proverbs. You can see it all across the great man of God. And you can kind of like, how can you be someone in your right mind and lose everything and you still bless the Lord? That's how righteous and how pure this gentleman was. As you go through this book, there's a lot here to unpack. But you see that he was a righteous man. He lost everything. He wrestled with God deeply. And he ultimately discovered something greater than any question that he may ask or any answer that he may receive from the Lord. Because there was a lot of questions. Why is this happening to Job? Friends came along. They started talking about him. They started giving advice. His wife also started saying things. And greater than any of the answers that he might have received, Job received wisdom at the end of this whole thing. And even though there was multiple things that happened and they were really painful, multiple conversations, at the end of the book, we realize that it was about humility and the humble posture of Job's heart. That really, what the purpose of this book is you fearing the Lord, and that was the verse at the end, there's no greater wisdom than fearing the Lord and shunning evil. And we see that repeated by Solomon. We see that over and over again. This is what wisdom is, where you fear God. So we can be honest about life. We don't have to beat around the bush, and we don't have to lie that life is hard, that things happen, that we experience hard times sometimes, that we go through a loss. We lose a loved one. We go through sickness. We go through pain. We go through betrayal. We go through disappointments. We go through confusion. And we can be honest that this really, this life that we live today has all these things. Our life consists of these things. And sometimes in life, the wisdom that we really need may have to come through pain and through suffering and through some of these things that we really try to avoid. You know, I don't want to get into this too much, but most of you that know me, you know my views, some of the theological views. I know there's a lot of theologies out there, and you might have heard about the gospel called prosperity gospel, where it's all about health and wealth and that kind of stuff. I personally do not agree with that, because I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in the book of Job either. And I see that the pain is a normal part of life. It is what we as humans will go through. Now, no one likes pain, and I believe, and all of you here sitting this morning or watching online, you do not like to suffer. Like, nobody goes around around town and says, "Hey, I would just love to suffer. I love suffering. Make me suffer right now." Like, no, nobody in their right mind talks like that. And we, matter of fact, this notion of suffering, we try everything that we can do in our life to escape it and not suffer. We want to live a happy and blessed life. And yes, we all do want to live that. And I do believe that that's possible through having Jesus and having Christ in your heart. But it doesn't mean that you're excluded from pain and suffering. It is a normal part of life, and that's what Jesus even says. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. This is Jesus himself. You will have trouble. So, pain is a normal part of life because of what? Because of the fall, because of sin, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, and we are all still paying the price for that, because in this flesh that is sinful, there's still groaning, there's still pain, there's still suffering. We still get angry, we still get upset, we still let the flesh come sometimes and take over, and addictions and lust and all these things. But we have the Spirit that's in us, the Holy Spirit that God has given us is a gift that we are able through in this body, in this day and age, we can live through pain easier when we have the strength of the Lord in us. So pain is a natural part of our day-to-day life because of the sin that we have inherited from our great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. One day our bodies will be redeemed and we're not going to be in sin anymore. That's going to happen in eternity. Pain is a natural part of life, and you can suffer without being guilty. Not all suffering is the result of sin. You see, in this case with Job, God made a statement. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And also in many cases in the Bible, we see even Jesus made a point of a gentleman who was blind on the road, and then his disciples came alongside and they said, and they asked the question, "What did this guy do wrong so that he's suffering? He's blind. What happened? They said, did his parents sin so that's why he's blind?" And that's the notion that's the way this world operates and thinks, that something must have happened. You know, if you're suffering, you definitely have done something wrong. And Jesus just dismisses that. He says, nope, that's not the case. It is so that God's glory would be revealed in his life. That was Jesus' answer to why this guy was suffering. So some of us, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, we suffer in life because of our own unwise choices and things that we do, and other people do. And we mentioned, you know, how suffering can be directly related to, our pain can be directly related to some of the unwise, foolish choices that we make ourselves or other people make to give do to us. And in so many cases, we can avoid suffering if we walk wise, if we live according to this word. And yes, we will be, because we live in a sinful world, we will be exposed to sin, we will be exposed to trauma, because of other people's unwise choices. Unfortunately, other people sin too. Nobody here is perfect. So because of other people's choices, some of us suffer. But there's times when we go through this life and we haven't done anything wrong and we still experience pain. We still ask questions. Who sinned? What happened here? And the question that I like to ask, instead of why is this happening to me, the question I'd like you to start asking when you are in a painful situation or you're suffering is, how can I better align my life with His will? In this moment right now, I'm in this pain, I'm in this situation, I don't know why, I don't understand, I don't have all the answers, but how can I better align my life with His will, and what's God's will, what's His purpose in this pain? Because every pain that we experience in this life has purpose. So, I believe the true wisdom comes from us humbly accepting our inability to grasp God's full purpose in His mind, because He's so outside of everything that we can ever imagine and know. And that's basically what the book of Job is all about towards the end, where God asks the question, were you there when I created all this? His wisdom is so beyond what we can ever imagine. But Job's friends, and we have those friends sometimes, came and they comforted him, and they tried to comfort him, and they ended up accusing him. Why? Because they believed the lie that a lot of people believe nowadays, and the lie is simply this assumed formula: good things happen to good people. If you're good, only good is going to come your way, and bad things happen to bad people only. But that was completely dismantled with this, where Job was righteous, and God even bragged about His righteousness and His holiness. But he was suffering not because of his sin, but because of His righteousness. Jesus, who was God, also suffered not because of His sin, but because of His righteousness. You sometimes may go through this life and you may suffer not because of your sin and what you did wrong, but because you are righteous and upright, and you live in a broken, messed up world. So, God wants to reveal His glory in this day and in this age, and that's why sometimes we have to go through suffering ourselves. We often just rush to assuming the blame, and we often, which unfortunately what the prosperity gospel says, well, you know, if you just had enough faith, you would be healed. And I believe that there's faith aspect and miracles happen. God can move. God can do incredible things. But we cannot put that burden on other people and say, you're suffering because you must have done something. You cheated, didn't you? When was the last time you prayed? And we actually do this as humans. We start passing on judgment and blame, trying to muster up the answer of why some people go through painful situations. Well, sometimes, like Job never got an answer why he had to suffer. Did you know that? There was never an answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And yes, why do good people happen to bad people too? We ask that sometimes too. Why is this unrighteous, filthy, whoever's enjoying his life, and I'm here serving the Lord, and look at me, I'm dying. Sometimes we do that too, right? But that question was not answered, and there was a lot of questions that were asked and pointed here in this book, and the friends, and all this that were happening. And then you come to the end of the book, you realize it really wasn't about getting the answer of why he was suffering. It was more about him and his posture of his heart, and it was more about him trusting in the one who is the answer, who's God Himself, the creator of all the universe. So true wisdom is not found in having all the answers, but in trusting the one who is the answer. In many things, in many painful situations in our life, the only answer that you may need is you being at the feet of Jesus in His presence, and knowing His goodness, His faithfulness, and His love. And I remember the story of a gentleman that came to Mother Teresa, and he was a pastor, and he complained about all the issues and all the people and all of his family and all of his kids, and he complained and complained and complained, and he just wanted to get an answer from Mother Teresa. Why is he suffering so much? And Mother Teresa said, well, if you just take all that energy and all the thought and all the things that you consume yourself with, and you just take an hour a day and you just adore your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you that you will not feel any pain anymore. I guarantee you will not feel any pain. And he realized that he just needs to flip the script. He needs to start being grateful. He needs to start focusing his attention on God and his goodness, his mercy, his love, and his faithfulness. And all of a sudden, all the problems that he was having disappeared when his focus was shifted towards Christ. Job was a book of wisdom, and in 28, chapter 21, 28, I just want to read a few verses. It says this, from where does the wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It's hidden from the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destructions and death say, we have heard a report about it. We've heard about this thing called wisdom. But God understands its way and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth. People look to the ends of the earth and they see under the whole of heavens. They look at the wind. They look at the waters and rain and all the things. And where is the wisdom? We search it so much. Verse 27, we can't find it. And verse 28 says this, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That is the summary of this book, that you are to fear the Lord. That's where wisdom is found, no matter what you're facing. Same thing is in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Same thing is mentioned in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Same verse repeated over and over again. This is where what wisdom is. So right now, this morning, as I kind of close this off, and just a few points from this, from the book of Job about how can we walk in wisdom when we're in a hard place. You may be in a hard place right now. You may be in a hard place in the future. How can we have wisdom in a hard place? First thing that we can do is we can trust God even when he is silent. You can trust God even when he's silent. See, God's silence does not equal his absence. It does not. We get caught up in this lie, well, God is not answering, therefore he's not real, he doesn't exist. He's not speaking, so therefore you can't trust him. You can trust God even when he's silent. And at the beginning of this story of Job, you see the first three chapters, he loses everything. And then God, for 37 chapters after the third chapter, God says, zit, nothing. There's a lot of other voices, his wife and friends, and everybody's trying to reason. And how come he's going through all this pain? And then even Job himself, he's just pouring his heart out, and he's trying to stay righteous and pure, and he's asking the questions, but God is just silent. He's not speaking, and it seems like this silence is unbearable. Oh, I don't know if you've ever tried to pray for something or someone for a long time and you've heard nothing but silence. And it's been maybe days, it's been weeks, it's been years, decades. And this silence can feel unbearable. And then if you've ever experienced something like that, you know how Job felt. The 37 chapters of silence, he probably felt so deeply emotionally confused and broken that he couldn't understand. But I love what he says in Job 23:8-10. He says, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Wow, even in the midst of the silence and confusion, he trusted that God had not lost track of him. In your silence, in your confusion, I want to encourage you, God did not lose track of you. God did not forget about you and your pain. God did not just turn his face around and say, oh, I don't care about you. I don't know what, you know, just keep talking. Talk to the hand. God doesn't do that. He doesn't turn around and say, okay, talk to the hand. No, he feels your pain. He knows it. He understands it. You can trust him. And like Job, you can say, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. When you cannot trace his hand, you can trust his heart. Charles Spurgeon said that. I love how there's so much depth in that, but God's heart is so pure and so good and so loving and so caring. You can just trust his heart. And that feeling of just sitting even with someone, when you know someone is speaking from the heart, doing something from the heart, you can feel it, you can know it. God is so good. He's so loving. Just trust his heart as you go through this life. Silence is not absence. Just keep walking by faith and trust the God who sees what you can't, because I believe that he's working even when things are quiet, when things are, when there's no volume. We need to learn to rest in God. We need to learn to trust in God. We need to learn to sit at his feet in the presence of Jesus. And even when we don't receive the answers, we just sit at his feet. And that's more than enough for us to lead us out of our frustrations and our anger and our pain towards his living waters. How else can we have wisdom in a hard place? Well, we can keep the faith even when it hurts. You see, real faith, real, when I say real faith holds on even when it hurts, even when it's the hardest time. Probably the biggest, most courageous verse in the Bible, actually, was in Job. When Job said, made a statement in Job 13, as he was getting beat down, and he was beat down, and he was beat down, and now his health was taken away. He had sores all over his body, and he just could not take it anymore. He says this in verse 13, 15. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is not shallow faith. That is a deep faith. Rooted in deep trust, resilient faith, refined faith. He didn't feel God. He didn't hear God. He did not have any explanations to what, his friends, his family, nothing. But he still said, I am not letting go. I will trust him, and I will have faith. And some of you, I know, might be in this kind of season where maybe your faith has been shaken. And you may be even thinking to yourself, well, I don't even know how to pray anymore. I don't even know what to say. But all I want to encourage you with, it's okay. Just keep holding on. Just keep the faith. Keep the trust. We're not saved because we have all the answers. We're saved because we trust in the one who does have all the answers. We know that God is sovereign. We know that he's faithful. We know that we can trust him. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to trust God's character over our own circumstances, our own fleeting, our emotions, our pain over here and now. That's what we need to do. How else can we walk and find wisdom in a hard place? We can worship a God who we don't fully understand. You see, God's ways are so higher than ours. They're so different than ours. God's wisdom is so bigger than our own understanding. We'll never be able to comprehend his wisdom. And Job, and when you hear this, then God shows up later on after all these chapters. In chapter 38, he starts speaking to Job, and then he asks Job. He doesn't give him the answers to the questions why he's suffering, but he asks him this is what he asked. He actually asked him 77 questions about universe, all the galaxies that God has created, about the earth, about animals, about weather, about creation. And it was sort of like God's way of saying to Job, hey, listen, Job, I love you. Sometimes you have to say that to someone. I love you, but I'm God and you're not. Come to my child. I know you have all these things you want to say, and you're just spilling it all. I love you, but I'm your dad. You're not my dad. Whatever it is in life, you know, in this case, let God be God, and don't try to be God, and don't try to muster up your own answers to the questions that you may have. And we will not always get an answer that we like to hear, and sometimes we'll not get an answer, but what we will get, we're going to get something better. And what that is, it's a revelation of who God is, of his goodness, of his love, of his grace, and his mercy. And Job, that's what he realized. That's all that he needed. That was enough for him to just know that even in this pain and suffering, God is still good. God still sees, and he can still worship him. And with all that, we could worship God even when we don't understand. We can say, God, I don't get it. I don't fully understand, but I'm going to worship regardless of what I'm going through. You are God, and I'm not. And I'm going to rely on your promises, on your strength, and on your provision. And the last thing, the last way that we can walk in wisdom in a hard place is we can wait for restoration with hope. We should never lose hope. As Christians, I always say, we should never, until our last breath, lose hope that God is still God, that God will restore, that God will heal, that God will deliver. Because I believe the restoration is coming. We know it in the scriptures. Jesus came to bring that restoration to us. God, his restoration is coming in his time. And for Job, it did happen in his day and age. And it wasn't because he persevered till the end. He was faithful till the end. It wasn't that. God, out of his generous wisdom and loving kindness, he blessed him with double than what he had in the beginning. But it is this hope that he never lost till the very end. And in the 42, actually verse chapter 42, he says in verse 10 that the Lord had restored Job's fortunes, continued to worship him. He never got an answer to why he suffered, but restoration came in his life and in his day and age. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, he will confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is the promise for you that you can believe and stand on. And I just love how the book of Job did not end in ashes and in smoke and everything was bad and terrible. It actually ended in this restoration, because that is the God that you and I serve. God who restores, God who brings hope, who brings healing, who brings deliverance. He is the God of restoration. And what we need to do is we need to trust in his restoration. We need to keep that hope because God will restore. You know, we may not always get that kind of restoration in this life even, and right now, whatever we're at. And maybe we'll never even see it in this side of eternity. But I just love you in that song that we sang, that whatever the enemy tries to use for evil, God can take and he can turn it for good. Whether it's right now or whether it's in the future, God is going to bring the restoration of all every painful circumstance and every suffering that we go through in this life. I believe that. God never wastes a pain. If he allows it, he will use it for his glory. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When we're in the middle of our pain, we can hold on with hope because we know that God is going to use it for good. We know that he's going to restore. We know that he's going to heal. We know that he's going to make things whole. We know that I just love resurrection that we're going to be celebrating in April. We know that. That's why he came. He came to restore what was broken. He came to bring life. He gave to forgive us. He came to give us this new life, his glory. So the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. When you're in a hard place next time, or maybe you are, I want you to fear the Lord. I want you to rely on him. I want you to worship him, no matter how hard that may seem. I want you to hold on to faith, because God is good. He loves you, and he has a plan. Amen. Let's all stand up, and I want to close in prayer. God is wisdom. He is wonderful. He is loving. He is caring. And he will not leave you hanging. He will restore everything that's been broken, all the time that's been lost. He can redeem, and he will redeem. Only God can do that. He's a God of miracles. He's a good God. Amen? I love the story about the footprints in the sand. I'm not sure if you ever heard that before, but there was a person who looked back over their life, and they've only seen one set of footprints. And that one set of footprints in the sand was during the hardest times that they went through in this life. And then they came to God and they asked him, God, why did you leave me when I was at my hardest, at my lowest, when I was suffering the most? And then God replied, he said, no, I did not leave you. That was the time that I carried you through. That was a time that I carried you through. If you need prayer this morning, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, you are so great. You are so wise. You are so good. You are so loving. You are so caring. And thank you for your love that you have towards us, your children. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who was sinless and blameless and took upon himself our sin, our shame, and our brokenness so that we may live, so that we may be free, so that we may have wisdom, so that we may walk in wisdom. So right now, Father, we need your wisdom. Whatever we're facing, whatever situation we're in, whatever painful circumstances we may be in, give us wisdom to trust you, to hold on to faith, to keep on worshiping you, and to keep on believing that you are doing something and that you will turn it for good. You will restore and you will redeem. We believe it. And we stand on it in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone here this morning. Strengthen them with your Spirit, Holy Spirit. Guide them, encourage them, and fill them with your peace right now. I pray the peace of God upon every person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.